Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks again.
If you could get used to hearing this from your customers, you should use Australia Post to deliver to them. Because when they receive their delivery quickly, securely, and at a time and place that suits them, they won't thank us, they'll thank you. Your customers will thank you for using Australia Post. Go to auspost.com.au/forbusiness to find out more.
I'm Dr. Theo Spirakis from Bexley Dental, and I can give you back your smile. With the all-on-4 dental procedure, I can put an end to broken and missing teeth and uncomfortable dentures. Book your free all-on-4 consultation now at bexleydental.com.au.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Memory Health Show, brought to you by Suvenate. See memorydrink.com.au for more information.
I very much missed my chat last week because I was knocked about by the flu. The Memory Health Show, thanks to our sponsor Suvenate, joining us in the studio tonight. I'm pleased to say we have again Associate Professor Michael Woodward, Head of Aged Care Research and the Memory Clinic at the Austin Health in Melbourne. Nice to speak to you again, Associate Professor.
I'm glad you're well.
And on your left hand, or maybe your right hand side, another professor, a professor, Marie McCabe, CEO of Dementia Australia. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Steve. And you've elevated my status. I'm unfortunately not a professor.
Oh, sorry about that. Why would I make you a professor when you're not?
I'm happy to accept it.
No, you will. You're going to be a professor in my eyes from now on. We're going to chat, and 131873, of course, is our number. We are talking dementia at the moment. The Dementia Australia does extraordinary work. You are the CEO. You do look at these numbers, and they continue to go through the roof. 447,000 Australians living with dementia. How does Dementia Australia help people?
Dementia Australia is the peak body and charity for people living with dementia, and our role is to empower and enable people living with dementia, their families and carers, and we provide advocacy on their behalf. We provide support services, so social support programs, counselling, information, education for people living with dementia, families, carers and the healthcare community.
It is such an important issue. We are going to talk it through in great detail tonight. Professor Woodward, you must be Associate Professor, I should say. Getting my professors mixed up here. the work that Dementia Australia does, so important.
Oh, it is. And I refer all of my patients and their families to Dementia Australia. They have great information. They have a six-week educational course called Living with Dementia. They provide services and more general education to the health community. They are the peak body for those suffering from significant problems with their memory. And it's vital that those people hear about Dementia Australia.
Can I ask you both, the idea that you should keep your mind and your brain as active as possible as you get older, how important is that in delaying the impacts and effects of early onset dementia?
It is really important, Steve, and I think that it's something that people are not sufficiently aware of, and not only exercising our body, but exercising our brain. And we know that exercising our body actually builds brain volume, and exercising our brain keeps our brain active, it keeps it agile, and the brain loves to learn, and it loves to learn in social situations. So doing things with people that you love, doing the things you love, is a really important way of reducing our risk of developing dementia.
Would you advise people, I mean, physicality aside, that remaining in some form of work is advantageous for that?
Absolutely. And we're learning something every day, and particularly if people are enjoying their work, that makes it even better. But it, whatever you do, and social interaction is also the other thing that keeps our brain active. So working, being socially engaged and learning new things, really great for your brain. And I'm just going to hand over to Michael.
And the other thing, Steve, is you don't start this when you're turning 70 or 80. You start this in midlife. There's been recent research from the Florey published, I think, on the weekend that shows that it's important to start these changes in lifestyle if we're not already doing them. Start in your 40s. Dementia risk reduction is a whole-of-life approach. It's not something you do as an afterthought when you turn 70 and you start getting worried.
Yeah, that's that study you mentioned, and I read that piece at the weekend, and I was quite fascinated by the fact that it's the Florey Institute of Neuroscience and Mental Health's Healthy Brain Project. They've studied the this is a significant study, the genes and lifestyles of 10,000 middle-aged Australians in the hope of uncovering why some people develop dementias and others do not. I mean, really important work, you'd have to say, Murray, right?
Absolutely. And the more research that we do, the better the outcome, the better information that we're able to provide for people. And having research, evidence-based information is absolutely critical. A really important study, particularly the size of the study. 10,000 participants is fantastic.
6,300 people enrolled so far. Analysis of the first 1,500 Michael found that memory impairments were evident in cognitively healthy adults, typically aged in their mid-50s, when they had factors that put their cardiovascular health at risk. So that is lifestyle choice, right?
Absolutely, and it suggests that the effects of the disease, if you like, of dementia and Alzheimer's in particular, probably starts decades before we can easily pick it up. So it may be that we can do something in that early stage. When we do, under testing, show some minor changes in our memory, but we wouldn't notice it ourselves. So don't wait until you're 70 or 80 is the important message here.
131873 is a number we're going to toss in each week in our memory health program. One of those brain workouts. Now, I don't know about you two, but I'm no good at these at all. I consider myself to be reasonably sharp. I'm great with general knowledge. I can't work out these riddle questions. Are you two any good at it?
Probably not. Give it a go, though.
How are you at it, Michael?
I'm terrible. I'd like to move on to the next subject.
So the three of us are going to not get the answer, but I'm going to throw it open to our audience. 131873, here's the question. Between now and the end of our Memory Health show tonight, and we are going to give you the answer at the end of the program. Here it is, folks. Listen up. Two girls were born to the same mother on the same day, at the same time, in the same month and same year, and yet they're not twins. How can this be? I'll repeat the question. Two girls were born to the same mother on the same day at the same time in the same month and year, and yet they're not twins. Can anybody answer that for me out there? I tell you what, you two, I guarantee you what will happen. Our audience are so sharp that we'll get an answer on that in about 10 seconds flat.
I'm looking forward to hearing the answer.
Come on, folks, don't let me down right across Australia. Let me know what the answer to that is. Other research presented at this conference by Murdoch University's Dr. Belinda Brown last week were the results of a six-month exercise study in 60 to 80-year-olds. Now, that found those who have a genetic risk of developing Alzheimer's disease can improve their memory and their learning by doing high-intensity exercise for an hour twice a week. That's not a lot of work.
No, and that's certainly the recommendation of Dementia Australia and other august bodies, that we need to do about that amount. And it's easy to incorporate it into our daily routine. And it should be something, as Marie said earlier, something we enjoy, something we can share with others or do with others if we have the opportunity. So don't see exercise as a sentence. See it as an opportunity.
We're going to talk counselling services as well in just one moment. 131873 is our number. I'll repeat that question. Two girls born to the same mum, same day, same time, same month and year, and yet they are not twins. How can that be? I'll guarantee you that our audience will come up with an answer in just a moment. Counselling services from Dementia Australia. Murray, tell us about them.
We can provide counselling services, Steve, as part of the suite of programs that are available. And really the approach that we take is it is all about what is important to the person. So we will work with them to achieve the goals that are important to them and to ensure that they have everything that they need to achieve those goals.
So the dementia helpline, we should point out, 1-800-100-500. That's 1-800-100-500. That's open 9 till 5 every day?
That's right. And if people call out of those hours, they can leave a message and our team will get back to them the following day.
So you give us a range of help sheets and resources, particularly for carers, right?
Well, for everybody, actually. And the range of help sheets that we have over 100 help sheets, and they've been translated into 32 different languages, and they cover many aspects of dementia. And so It's information that is readily available, it's accessible, and it's in language that people understand well. So please, they're on the website, go to dementia.org.au and feel free to download any of the help sheets that are of interest.
Murray McCabe, CEO of Dementia Australia, is with us. Associate Professor Michael Woodward, Head of Aged Care Research and the Memory Clinic at the Austin Health in Melbourne, is with us. A thousand of our listeners have got, I think, got the answer to this. Gary in Melbourne, g'day.
Hey, Steve, they're a pair out of a triplet or a set of quads even.
Aren't you clever? I mean, how does your brain allow you to answer that, Gary?
It's a riddle that one of my kids had a while ago.
Oh, you already knew the answer.
Yeah, I did.
Good on you, Gary. Thank you. Marion, did you? Someone tell you the answer or you knew it?
I was the same, yep.
Someone told you?
Oh, I have heard it before, yes.
Okay, good on you, Marion. Brian, g'day.
How you going, Steve?
Did you work that out yourself or someone's told you?
Google helped me.
Oh, no. See, this is the problem of ever, ever having quizzes, Marie and Michael, on a radio these days. People just Google it.
At least I was honest.
You were honest. Thank you, Brian. Good on you. So there you go, you two. Would you have ever got it? I mean, we've got an associate professor and a CEO in the studio.
It's a worry.
And a number one rating broadcaster from all around Australia. I would have no clue.
I'm going to leave that question unanswered.
Yeah, see, I bet you don't do crosswords either.
I do. And Sudokos, I like them. And the nine-letter word, those scrambles in the daily paper, they're good fun.
They're also good for people, right, to keep the brain going.
Yeah, because we've got to see brain exercise as not something that we get in our daily life. I mean, we do obviously exert the brain all the time, but it's not enough, just as we don't get usually enough physical exercise unless we consciously do some extra work on the body. We need to consciously do extra work on the brain, because what's happening is we're forming new synapses. We're making new connections within the brain. That builds up our reserve, our ability to combat the effects of illnesses like Alzheimer's, even if it's already there in the early stages. So we can delay its symptoms, we can delay its effect if we build up these synapses in the brain, which is one of the ways that this food that sponsors this show, Souvenade, has an effect. It builds up the synapses in those who have significant memory problems already.
More calls and more fabulous information on the Memory Health Show straight after this.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Memory Health Show, brought to you by Souvenade. See memorydrink.com.au for more information.
CEO of Dementia Australia, Marie McCabe is in the studio with us, as is Michael Woodward, Head of Aged Care Research, Austin Health in Melbourne. Marie, I'm going to talk in a moment about the National Younger Onset Dementia Key Worker Program. I want some detail on that. Michael, I wanted to talk to you first. We've been through this before, but I think it's important to go through the triggers again, where you might see that someone you're living with or a parent that you visit on a regular basis might be triggering some reason for concern. What are you looking for?
So the main change would be in memory. So, for instance, continually losing items or forgetting what happened yesterday or a few days ago, missing appointments, failing to be able to recognise or name someone, losing your car, losing your route when you're driving. These sorts of problems should be triggers. They don't necessarily mean you've got a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or you're heading towards dementia, but they should be triggers. And the next thing to do is to go and see your general practitioner and get a more accurate diagnosis. We all sometimes forget the odd thing, but when you have these sorts of symptoms occurring recurrently or when they're seen in one of your loved ones, then that's the time to go and get some further opinion, some further assessment.
No need to panic. Just recognise it. And look, if it's more than forgetting where you put your car keys. We all do that, right?
Oh, absolutely. We've all done that. We've all occasionally forgotten where we put our phone, etc.
I forget where I put my car half the time.
If it's happening repeatedly, and it may not be memory that's the trigger, we might see a change in mood or personality. A person could become more anxious or more uncharacteristically cranky. That's a great word, isn't it? But that doesn't necessarily mean the person has got mild cognitive impairment, but it might be a trigger that needs further assessment.
So if you then get to the point where you are diagnosed as having dementia, what happens then?
Well, if you're diagnosed in the early stages of something like Alzheimer's, what we call mild cognitive impairment, then there's a range of options. Firstly, we need to be even more diligent, more careful about the changes that we were talking about before, exercise, about the lifestyle changes, exercising, eating a good diet, keeping our brain active, keeping socially engaged, avoiding isolation. But if we do have a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment where Alzheimer's disease is the likely cause, as confirmed by our health practitioner, then we might consider other approaches. And Suvinaid, because it does build up these synapses, these connections in the brain, is one option that we should consider once that diagnosis has been made.
Mari, this is a tricky question, but I know you'd be able to help me out with this. In a lot of areas of our society now, as we get older, we are fitter. I mean, I'm a fitter 64 than my father was at 64. We are living longer, and a lot of our health issues, we've improved on things like heart disease. We are genuinely, without overstating it, probably a healthier society than we were 20 years ago because of medical research. Are you hoping that we get to the point with research into dementia that we can pull back the numbers of people that are tipping over into this area?
Absolutely, Steve. And the healthier we are as we get older. Look, age is one of the biggest risk factors about dementia, and one of our greatest accomplishments is our increase in longevity. It brings with it, however, some of our greatest challenges, and one of them being dementia. But the more we look after our physical health and well-being, the better off that we are into the future, and the more research we do into lifestyle factors. And, you know, there's a lot of research around exercise being able to reduce our risk of developing dementia, the more we can delay the onset of dementia. And if we could delay the onset of dementia by just 5 years, there would be millions of people across the globe that would die from other things. They would not develop dementia. And, you know, that's an aspiration that we all hope for, is that, you know, people can live a life that is where they're cognitively well.
Because, you know, like reducing the level of smoking and then reducing the levels of cancers, you have to have a goal, right? I mean,
absolutely.
And the numbers that I've seen of yours here, that people, if you reduce the incidence of dementia in people aged 65 and above by 5%, it would lead to a 7% reduction in the number of people with dementia in the population by 2025, and then it's a cannoning effect to 24% by 2056. Unless we do that, we're just going to keep going the other way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, these figures are real. It's very important that we take note of them. And right now, we've got 447,000 Australians living with dementia. By 2056, it will be around 1.1 million. There won't be anyone in Australia that's not impacted in some way.
But the good news, Steve, is that there's already research from a number of centres around the world, including recent research from South Australia, that suggests that we might already be starting that turnaround. As you say, we're living healthier. Certain parts of our lifestyle are improving, and blood pressure and vascular cardiac risk factors for disease, including brain disease, are being better detected and better managed. So some research that was released from South Australia a few months ago has actually suggested that this reduction might already have started. That doesn't mean we lose our attention to this. We don't let our guard down, but there is hope on the horizon, even without blockbusting drugs in the future.
I tell you what we might do, and we might even do this next week. We're going to throw the lines open and invite people who are living with a partner, husband, wife, mother, father, who are going through the early stages of this, or who may be a little bit more advanced, to call us and tell us about how they're coping, how they're dealing with it, how they first picked it up, what's been helpful for them. I think it would be great to hear people's stories on how it is, how they're having a positive outcome because they're talking about it.
Absolutely. And the more we can raise awareness, Steve, the better informed communities are, and then the better able people living with dementia are to be able to do the things that are important to them and remain engaged.
Tell us about the National Younger Onset Dementia Key Worker Program.
Well, first, let me say younger onset dementia is a diagnosis of dementia before the age of 65. So in people's 50s, their 40s, and even their 30s. And 1 in 13 of the 447,000 Australians living with dementia have a diagnosis of younger onset dementia. Now, the Key Worker program acts as a primary point of contact for people with younger onset dementia, their families and their carers. And so the Key Worker provides advice and works with consumers to engage with services appropriate to their individual needs, and they have a special focus on support to access ongoing supports. And people living with younger onset dementia may have very different challenges. They may be the primary breadwinner, they may have young children, they may be challenged in other areas as well. So, you know, being able to access and receive ongoing support through the NDIS is really important, and the program really meets the needs of people to make sure that they're met by the community. And we work with people, and it may be that people want to stay in the workforce. We can work with people to help them do that for longer and to also support their family and carers. And I think it's a really important time to emphasise the importance of support for family carers. They are extraordinary in the work they do to support their loved one living with dementia, and you know that people would not be able to remain in the community without them.
No, I think the carers do a fabulous job. What was the youngest person that we've seen diagnosed?
Look, the youngest person we've seen is 21. Gee. And that's very rare, but it was a very aggressive form of dementia, and sadly that person also died very young.
Thank you very much, both of you, for coming in. I always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you shortly. Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure, Steve.
Murray McCabe, CEO of Dementia Australia there, and Associate Professor Michael Woodward, Head of Aged Care Research and the Memory Clinic at the Austin in Health in Austin Health in Melbourne. Thanks to our great sponsor, Suvenade. Back after news.
Celebrating Origin 3 with a beautiful bundle of wine from Molly's Cradle. This exclusive Molly's bundle includes the new release 2019 Sauvignon Blanc and Premium Cradle Cab Sav, plus chockies and other goodies valued at over $125. Online, $59.99 with free delivery in the Sydney metro area. This exclusive Molly's online offer must end at full time tonight. Go to mollyscradle.com.au for this beautiful bundle of wine while stocks last.